All right. I always get a lot of people messaging me, asking me how I find the best deals for my flips and my long-term and short-term rentals. Well, I'm going to tell you how I do it. I direct source properties utilizing a company called PropStream. PropStream is an amazing, amazing platform. It allows the user to combine any number of criteria and extract a list of properties that meets an exact investment profile. They have nationwide coverage for all kinds of cool, you know, lists like pre-foreclosures, bank-owned properties, high equity, vacant properties, tax, IRS, utility liens, and so on and so forth. It is just such an incredible platform. I mean, you know, this is how I locate my on and off market properties. I generate lead lists. I vet my properties. I assess my risk, calculate feasibility, and so on. Like, if you guys aren't using PropStream, you really, really should. So go to https://trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. So basically, trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. And that's going to get you a 7-day free trial. Go ahead and sign up today. Welcome and hello, everybody. This is the REI Society podcast, where we are informing you everything real estate and business related so that you can be successful in REI investing. We're sharing the tools, tips, and stories from people who have already made it. And my name is Brandon Thompson, your host. Each week, we'll bring extraordinary guests so that you can learn real estate from the best. Welcome, everybody, to the REI Society podcast. I am going to talk to you guys about wealth building today, wealth building. It almost seems like it's just not even possible, but with what's going on in the world with coronavirus economy and so on and so forth. But I mean, you know what? Let's just be honest. More self-made millionaires were made back in 2008 than they were in the last several years. So why is that true? Let's just go ahead and talk about it. Why not? You know, although it's easy to plan on winning the lottery to get rich, the real way to do it is actually much simpler. Well, America's millionaires, 2/3 are self-made, meaning that their parents weren't rich. These guys are out there, entrepreneurs. They're out there going in and maneuvering and shaking, making things happen. They collect significant wealth through controlling their spending, regular investing, and in some cases, entrepreneurship. It's not as sexy as winning the lottery, but it's more realistic. Now, that is a quote from the book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. Or part of it was. I kind of mixed it up with a little bit of my own talking, but let's just talk about that. So I don't know anybody that has generational wealth. You know, I know families that have created wealth and yeah, families, as the parents die or grandparents die, the wealth trickles down, but like true generational, like legacy wealth, I don't know anybody that has done that. But when you read this, the average American, as they've worked for all those years, they've created some awesome, wealth. But here's the thing. What you guys need to know is it is not easy. And you have to delay your gratification if you want to make this thing happen. So I wanted to say this. There is, unfortunately, a long period of time before you start, I mean, from the time you start in your journey in entrepreneurship to the time when you are truly wealthy. And I mean, like, not talking about like several hundred thousands in the bank. I'm talking about millions. Like, most people get into this thing with, I don't know, let's just say showbiz eyes, like, oh, I just want to be celebrity rich and things like that. You know, I got into real estate back in, 2003. I was like, man, I want to be rich. I saw a Saved by the Bell episode where Kelly and Zach and all the crew went to Hawaii, and I think Kelly had met this rich dude on the beach in Hawaii, and she's like, "How are you able to do this?" He's like, "I worked my butt off in my 20s. I'm assuming he was in his late 20s on this show, in this episode, but I worked my butt off all through my high school years and my early 20s, and I'm able to just sit at home and hang out on the beach now because of my fruits and labor." But wow, that really struck me way back then, to be quite honest with you. I I got to the point where, like, I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that lays out on the beach just because I can. And, you know, I didn't realize what it would take, but I knew that was the lifestyle for me. So I set myself out on a journey. I kept on reading entrepreneurial magazines back in the day before social media and, you know, Flipboard and things like that, where you can read news articles. But I would pick those up in like Borders back then when they were still open, and just flip through these franchise magazines trying to figure out what I can do, what I can do, what I can do. I didn't want to do the labor thing. I started up a lawn care company at one point. I worked for my cousin and my uncle at one point in lawn care because my stuff just wasn't working. I was selling lollipops on the bus as a young kid. I did a few sales jobs, and I realized, like, I had the drive in me to sell, but I just did not know what my niche was. Well, come 2003, I was working with a friend, and we were doing pizza catering. We started up a pizza catering business, and we were making like $1,000 a week for like an 18 and 19 year old. We're doing great. I mean, we're making more money than anybody I knew. But, you know, I got to the point as I was doing this, I was seeing some of my classmates who were already like halfway through college in the university. And I'm wearing a Domino's pizza outfit, even though I had a catering business making more money than them. It was just embarrassing. I got to the point where it disturbed me on the inside. Like, I want to do something that I'm proud of. I want to do something that I'm proud of that I can serve people. And that wasn't it. So I set myself out on a journey. And in that process, my wife and I, we bought our first home. And a real estate agent I met at a local brokerage showed us like two or three homes. And we were easy customers. You know, I felt like she didn't work much. It was really easy. And I looked at her commission when we sold the house, and she made like several thousand dollars. I'm like, well, my God, if this lady can do it, I can do it. And I can do it a whole hell of a lot better. So set me out on a journey to get my real estate license. And through that process, I paired up with this brokerage that sold me the house, and I served under them for several months. And I realized it wasn't for me. Like, I didn't like working with homebuyers full time. I wanted to learn how to flip houses, and I wanted to learn how to invest because I wanted to be rich like this guy in Saved by the Bell. And 30 years old, having the the riches that this guy seemed to have in this episode, like freedom, and, you know, he can invest to have freedom and things like that. That's what I wanted. So I realized that I wasn't going to get there as a real estate agent. And unfortunately, it just didn't bring enough income, at least on my side of town. So I decided to look into rental homes. And from the age of 20 to 22, I bought 20 rental homes. Well, how did I do that? That's not really the moral of the story here, but I did get connected with good people, and they showed me the ropes, and I pretty much took the bull by the horn and seized the day, blew them to the side, said, look, I'm going to build this thing. So from 20 to 22 years old, I had 20 rental homes, and I started flipping houses, 10 to 15 a year. And then after that, I started setting up really good systems with lending and contracting, brokerage. I even became a mortgage broker at one point. So I set up like a little bit of a monopoly. Like, I would bring investors in. So I'd pair up the first-time home buyer kind of feel to the mix of what I was doing personally. And I would pair the two together. And I would be like your investor's agent or something like that. I would teach you the ropes. I brought a lot of people into the church at the time that were interested in what I did. I had a lot of people asking me for feedback and information. What did I do? And I would tell them, and it brought a lot of attention. So a lot of people from the church wanted to do what I did. So I brought them to my lenders, and we would get them approved for financing. It was before 2008. So financing was very freely given. And if you had blood in your veins and blue ink in your pen, you could get financing way back then. Didn't matter if your credit or whatever. So I brought people into my system. They would go to my local community banks. We'll get approved for finance, and I'd hook them up with my contractors. They would remodel the home. Of course, I would make a commission for helping them find that home. And through the process, I'd get a management fee for overseeing some of the rehabs if they didn't want to rehab them themselves. And from there, like, my gosh, the investor decided whether they want to flip the house or whether they want to rent the house. And I'd make a commission at that point. If they wanted to rent the house, after I rent the property, I'd get a commission. They would have to refinance that from a construction loan or a temporary mortgage to a permanent mortgage. So like I said, I was a mortgage broker, and I'd make another commission from there. So I had a little bit of a monopoly, like a really cool system in place at that point. And man, on paper, with those rental homes, those flips, that active income coming in, the depreciation I had off of 20 flips, like my tax burden was very low. I was paying almost next to nothing legally in taxes, making several hundred thousand dollars a year. And I thought I was King Dingling. I had like a $2 million net worth on paper. But, you know, unfortunately, I didn't delay my gratification. Any home I wanted to buy to live in, I would buy to live in. The nice cars, I'd have the nice cars. We would just, you know, drink and party like crazy. So I got to the point where I realized that as 2007 and 2008 was kind of brewing, like, I just wasn't prepared for this. I wasn't prepared to be a millionaire. Do you know what it is like to be prepared to be a millionaire? No, you don't, unless you've been there. Like, it's all those years of grueling, you know, going to the school of hard knocks. You know, over the years, we've had, I mean, there's so many stories, but over the years, I've had 3 lawsuits. And one I've ended up having to pay. I've lost money on several deals. You know, sometimes in entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurship can be a lonely sport, but sometimes in entrepreneurship, you're throwing money out there in advertising and marketing, and people just cheat you, and people don't give you what they say they're going to give you. Sometimes there's personality conflicts, you know, partnerships dissolve. Like, it's been a lot over the years. And as you build up a business and you're making a lot of money, and then you realize that you don't really have a business, you're just self-employed, you can maybe take 2 or 3 weeks out of your life on vacation and come back. You might still have something going, but 2 or 3 months, my God, you leave for 2 or 3 months. It's going to really, really affect your lifestyle and your living. So how are you going to be able to achieve that? Now, can you systemize? Can you systemize and put people in place during your business? Yeah, but nobody's going to do it just like you. And you got to understand, as you build this thing out, that nobody will do it like you. So where am I going with this? Fortunately, entrepreneurship is a lonely sport. You are the CEO that has to build out and design this thing, this business, and nurture it up the way you want it. And you have this drive in you to serve others. And the more people you serve, you're overseeing awesome things happening. Like in my business, I'm helping people out with life circumstances, life situations. Just 2 weeks ago, I bought a quadruplex. 2 sisters inherited their brother's quadruplex in an estate transfer and probate. And it's like, gosh, like, they didn't want the property. So we gave them $50,000. It was beat up. I didn't like take advantage of them. We gave them $50,000. We got to put $100,000 into this property. But now we're going to be in it for $150,000, and it's worth $300,000 to $350,000. And they're happy as can be. They got the money in their pocket. I'm happy as can be. I've got a really, really good deal. So I realized a long time ago that, you know, before the recession, I was all about the money, which I haven't gone into this for yet. But since the recession, I was all about serving. So let's just jump back before 2008. In 2008, I was like, man, I was work. I was living to work. I'd work 12-hour days. I would drink like a fish. I would just, you know, party with my friends, like, you know, partying. I don't mean like college kid partying. I mean, like, we're just drinking and playing games and, you know, doing, you know, crazy cool stuff, like just shooting the bull like men do. I was doing that like with the best and drinking down all the scotches and things like that. But here's the thing. I just worked. And like I said, it just wasn't in the right motive. I had money symbols in my eyes. All I talked about was money. All I talked about was wanting to be rich, a millionaire before I'm 30, multi-millionaire before I'm 30. And I think it affected some relationships. I didn't value people over money. And it's kind of like Susie Orman says, you need to value people first, then money next or last or whatever, or something. She says something like that. I haven't watched her in a few years, but I had a backwards motive. I decided that I needed to redirect my programming after I lost everything. So in 2008, after we lost everything, I really had to get deep with myself. Within a year of just being away from sales, and I slowly crept back in, I realized during 2008, after I lost everything, that I didn't want to be in real estate, but I didn't really know anything else. And I was pretty damn good at real estate. So I started my brokerage. I had my real estate license. I did my 75 hours and I got my brokerage license, started my own brokerage independent of my own. And I let a couple of people in and, you know, I slowly started doing rental sales and property management and started listing for the banks. And somehow real estate came back and found me. It was a match made in heaven, meant to be. All right, guys, this sponsor is REI Society itself. REISociety.com mastermind is where I want you to go as soon as we get done with this episode. Or go ahead and book the link right now on your phone or laptop, wherever you're listening to this. This is where I'm doing a 30-day real estate investment virtual bootcamp mastermind. It combines the exact strategies I've used to triple my income and design my real estate career. It's a virtual mastermind about creating clarity, taking massive action, and getting tangible results. There's no travel required. You can do everything from the comfort of your smartphone or laptop. What I do need from you is full engagement towards the realizations of your goals. You're going to learn about wholesaling, flipping, rentals, and short-term rentals, basically creating income from thin air while never utilizing your own money. Learn how to, you know, determine values correctly, work with contractors without getting hurt, design a home quickly and to sell a property quickly like a pro. Learn how to use the Burr method and build a long-lasting portfolio so that you can have passive income and create long-lasting wealth. And then how to build a multi-million dollar portfolio and how to become a five-star super host quickly in short-term rentals if you're interested in that side of the game. We'll help you set up your office, your digital office, set up marketing so you can get more leads, acquisitions, finance, construction, management, liquidations, and you also get a 30-day mentorship by yours truly and my wife, Tiffany, in a closed Facebook group. You're going to get all my documents, all my lenders, everything. Go to reisociety.com/mastermind right now and sign up today. And right now, because of these unprecedented times, we're giving a 20% discount on our cost of the classes. Thank you.
I got to the point where I realized, like, man, I was just getting a really close relationship with God. Like, I was having a personal encounter with God, and people matter. People matter. Like, all those years before when I was just working my butt off and, you know, my wife and I, we never really fought much, but, you know, coming in a drunken stupor and I'm just being a little bastard or whatever for no reason, just because I'm stressed at work, I'm drinking just to take the edge off. Or, well, do you guys know that real estate is considered one of the most stressful jobs in the world? Like, I want to say we're in the top 10. Don't hold me to it, but I want to say we're in the top 10 with air traffic controllers. Can you imagine air traffic controllers stress? They have to make sure that two planes don't cross parallel or don't cross paths and they stay parallel to each other. They don't collide. Like, real estate people in general are considered that they have that kind of a stressful job. So anyways, guys, look, all this to say, this story, this is a deep personal story, but in 2009, as I started making money again, I built my brokerage up. I got a lot of pocket inventory, partnered with my former business partner, and we were starting to build a private capital business back. I get to the point where I realized that it was just all about the relationships. It's about forming just incredible relationships with people. And you can go deep with people. Some people will come and go in your life and out of your life. Some people will stay. But fortunately, like, I realized a deep life lesson, like, family first. And then, you know, my money. Like, my wife and I, we started traveling for the first several years in our life. And I think a lot of it stemmed because we came from nothing. We both grew up in a trailer park. My parents had moved out of the trailer park, but we both came from pretty poor families. And unfortunately, it wasn't their fault. It was just how we were all, how they were brought up, and they didn't chase after the things I chased after. And there's nothing wrong with that. But We didn't go on vacation. I was never on. I've never been on a vacation. I went to Florida or Gatlinburg, maybe two small vacations. And one was a day and one was like under a week. So when I was a kid, my wife went on maybe one or two as well. But here's the thing, like we decided like we're going to do something for us. So we got on plane tickets. We got some plane tickets. We started seeing the world. We hopped a train. Our first trip post-recession was hopping a train because we're still poor. Was hopping a train from Atlanta to New Orleans. Let's go see New Orleans at Christmas time. So we did some wonderful things. But look, guys, I want to just say this. So I'm going to do a full circle here. Here's another quote from Ramit Sethi's book. American culture doesn't help us think about investing our money. We see celebrities and Instagram posts that show us the results of being rich, not how to get there. I'm going to tell you guys the secret to wealth building. Here's the secret to getting rich. Here's how you're going to get there. You're going to find something you're passionate about. You're going to do the work. And you're going to do it with a happy face for a lot of fucking years. That's the secret sauce. Wealth building takes time. You can't do this overnight. By the time I lost everything, I was 27. Within 3 years, I did make that first million. I had some awesome things happening in my life and my business, but I put my priorities first. I started making better decisions and I just socked away cash. And I put my money in smart investments year in, year out. And yes, they were real estate based. I did put some money in the market and index funds and things like that, but I was seeing gain after gain in a rising, appreciating market. And I was making smart purchases and then smart sales. Now, what's the moral of the story? Like I said, wealth building takes time. It's not something you can do overnight. Do you think that Justin Bieber, even though he was discovered young, he became Justin Bieber overnight? No, the son of a gun was singing singing songs all through his years before he got discovered on YouTube. Tiger Woods, he was molded by his dad. He was swinging golf clubs every flipping day as a kid. Yeah, I mean, and then look how long it became before he was Tiger Woods. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield, a plumber by trade. And I want to say, if I remember reading his book, he was in his late 40s or early 50s when he got discovered. KFC, Colonel Sanders, he tried to sell his recipe like several hundred times, and it just kept on getting the nose after nose after nose after nose. And then in his 70s, he finally sold the recipe and became independently wealthy. Like, first and foremost, it doesn't matter how old you are, young or old. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your limitations are in class. Remember, I came from the trailer park, so did my wife. It just matters of grit, perseverance, willing to go through the school of hard knocks. And I will say this, I'll add to that part. You can go through the school of hard knocks and try to be bullheaded and learn this thing on your own, like I did, or you can hire a coach or a mentor that really does what they're saying they do, and they can help advise you to get to the point into the place that you want to be at and do it a lot quicker with the right direction. So I would advise doing that route versus the route I took. You probably get there a little bit quicker than I will. I did this before social media and before all the connectivity that we have in the last 12 years. You guys are in a freaking amazing world right now. Like, if I had the kind of global connectivity that we have in this kind of round world that is just limitless, it seems like, back prior to the time when I was just getting in the early 2000s, I think I could do it so much quicker. So don't let your limiting beliefs stop you dead in your tracks. Don't let fear of what's going on in the world paralyze you. That's false evidence appearing real. There's a lot of stuff that can happen, but it may not happen. So if you just let that fear paralyze you, it's going to stop you dead in your tracks and you're not going to be able to get anything done. You know, here's how you do this. Make conscious decisions that are best for you and your family. Take one step forward, then you might take two steps back. But as long as you're making one step forward, two steps back, you're going to go backwards, right? I know that was bad advice. I did that on purpose. No, go at the speed and the pace you want to go that's comfortable for you. Take the two steps forward and the one step back. The two steps forward and the one step back. Go at a pace that's slow and steady. Slow and steady wins the race in this kind of a global economy. Last year, I was running 30 projects at a time. This year, I'm happy to say I'm running 10 at a time. At the turn of the year, I was already kind of slowing down my business because I knew that something was coming and looming. I didn't know that the coronavirus was coming, but I knew that something was, you know, causing the highest highs in a bull market, and it's been the longest bull market ever. So I knew by this year, probably near election time, I was going to get down to about 10 properties at a time, and that would allow me to feel comfortable, and I can control it easier than I could 30. So just this last fall, I started kind of selling off inventory, and I wouldn't do anything more than 20 at a time. And I rolled over into the beginning of the year, 20 flips at a time. And now I'm merging down to 10. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty out of there. But, you know, in these unprecedented times, you can maximize off of uncertainty. Like, people are in such fear. You can let them know that it's okay. You can be there to serve them. Like, if you're in real estate, you can pick up that mobile home park that this elderly gentleman has had for decades that just wants cash flow and just doesn't want to deal with stress anymore. You can buy the small apartment building that somebody just needs to move on with their life, not deal with. You can buy the house that somebody can't afford to keep up anymore, and they just need to downsize and move into something that's more manageable. You can be the person that comes in and saves a day by buying that property and doing something smart with it yourself. And then you're building your wealth. And like, look, going back to what I said, look, this is going to take time. It's not something that's going to be overnight. I know there's some stories of people doing this overnight and they're making millions in a year, 2 years. I don't want you to think like that. Slow and steady wins the race. Slow and steady wins the race. Like, look, you're never going to get there if you're chasing money. So chase helping people. So look, I hope this podcast helped. This is one of those solo episodes. I told you guys I was going to do from time to time. I think I'm on my third solo episode. Like, I just feel like this is stuff that is on my mind that I can share and, yeah, I can help people with. So hope this helps. If you guys don't mind, give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Like, I need more people sharing this podcast. I need more good reviews. If you have not left me a review, please leave a 5-star review. If you are interested in learning from real estate, my mastermind is live. I'm doing it month in, month out. Go to reisociety.com/mastermind. It's a 30-day mastermind, and it's really trying to equip you to get to the right mindset and thinking and right skill set to build a long-lasting real estate portfolio. You want to build wealth, right? So we're going to teach you how to build wealth the right way. Look, guys, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. We're almost at 30 episodes, and this is a labor of love. I'm really here to help and serve, and thank you guys for listening. See you till next time.